The Incomparable After Dark. After Incomparable numbers 67 and 68. Originally recorded September 29, 2011.
Now here was my question. So if you've ever looked closely when he falls down onto the TV antenna thing and he's hanging there, is that supposed to be his hand that falls down? There's something that falls down.
Oh yeah.
No, that's
I had always we had an argument. My friend and I had an argument over this for years whether or not
I always assumed it was
holding
his lightsaber.
The lightsaber.
But I assume the hand was still holding it, I guess I thought.
Well,
was
the rigor mortis doesn't set in that quickly. I assume the hand would release it.
You know, whatever reason, like you look at it and it's not clear. I've run it back. Granted, the laser disc is not high quality enough to figure out. But I was trying to look around online to see if I could find whether or not there was a definitive, like someone saying, yeah, this is definitely what it is, and I couldn't find it. But again, I always just assumed it was the
Nothing else falls with him like that, so I always took it as being, you know, it's garbage. It's junk
that
that's just floating around that's collecting down there
that fell off his, you know, his gun still on his belt.
It doesn't look like a lightsaber
it doesn't look like anything.
I
if you
have,
stop
it
and look at it,
it
looks like a blump.
In 720p, I have it open right now. It's not, it is vaguely convincing as a tube, but it's fat in the middle and has a thing attached to it. So
if
it's supposed to be a hand holding a lightsaber, they did a bad job of communicating that in the film because
I just never understood what it was supposed to be. And you know, it was one of those things I didn't notice the first dozen times I watched it. Like, oh, he's falling. Crap, he's holding on the thing. And then when we started talking about it,
to see something falling and go, oh,
yeah,
geez, Luke could fall
too. So you understand that there's no bottom, yeah. And I should look at the Blu-ray to see what it really is. Did we tire you out, Jason? Is it past your bedtime?
No, I just feel so guilty about the fact that it's so late where you guys are. I just feel really bad about it.
If it was any other subject,
but it's
I might
this
feel,
podcast.
Okay,
but it's Empire Strikes Back, and I'm still literally so amped about
can
this.
I'm not sure I'm going to be able to go
for hours and hours. I feel like, you know.
I want to do the parts where I can patch it in and split this into two. Can we do that? Where I thank you at the end of part one and then introduce you.
Works for me. Pickups?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, some looping, some dialogue.
Oh, boy.
All right.
You know what I intentionally left out? Because we would have gone even longer. I recently read the first critical things I've ever read about Empire Strikes Back. It was a whole series of threads, which I'm surprised none of you brought up, but it would have just made us go longer.
Oh.
About sexism and how Leia is not really a strong character and how Han sexually assaults her and all this horrible BS, which I would gladly refute at tremendous length if necessary, but I didn't want to sully our episode.
She's totally got the upper hand on him the entire time. That was my point from the beginning of the movie.
He assaults her. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
No, the whole thing at the beginning of the movie.
I can see how it can read that way, but it's complete
bullshit. Really,
you're willfully misreading it.
Yes, that's,
yeah.
All right, let's pick it up where we left off. Where that is, I don't know, because I haven't edited it yet.
Yeah,
it sounded awfully forceful.
That might be very interesting.
Yeah,
good luck with that.
Yeah.
Work that.
I was just looking over while we were recording that night. I have the Making of Empire book sitting on there, and I'm amused that there's a quote on the back from Carrie Fisher, which I don't know if you've read, which says, these books are the acid flashback they've been promising us. Without the mess and fuss of dropping acid, .. Again, a trip worth taking. I'm like, and part of me is just like, I can't believe they actually printed that on the back of this book.
It's Carrie Fisher. Carrie Fisher's wishful drinking, by the way, is hilarious. Her memoir. It's very short, and the end of it basically has her ranting about the General Kenobi speech, which is a treat.
And she did that as a one-woman show too.
She did. I am so sad I missed it.
She did that at Berkeley Rep, I think, for a little while.
And then on Broadway.
Yeah.
That's another thing I didn't get to bring up. Carrie Fisher looks so good in this movie. I know everyone's middle bikini,
no, she really does.
Jedi and everything.
She looks so good in this movie. This is her at her peak.
She's beautiful and composed, and yes, she's probably on drugs and we don't need to know that, but like, yeah.
No, but
it worked for
she's
her.
Not like the teenager. She's not the teenager with the weird haircut, and she's not the kind of the harder and kind of metal bikini that didn't,
coked up.
Never really did
Jedi
it for me. But this one, she's a little softer, but
she's
older
beautiful
and she's
strong and vulnerable and has really nice hair.
Yes,
and dresses and outfits that are like sensible and like normal.
That's why
she wears one pretty dress that isn't revealing. Like,
that's why Han is begging for her to give him a reason to stay.
Yeah. Wouldn't we all be?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We're all Han Solo.
No, just me, because I picked him.
Yeah,
the
you're
draft.
Right. You got it.
I don't know.
In the TV draft, but the
it's
movie character draft.
The movie draft has yet.
From any
it's
movie
too hard to decide
ever.
If I would run off with Princess Leia or Chewbacca. It's just, I can't decide.
That's true.
See, I wanted R2-D2 as my little pet companion for so many years that it's hard, although Han Solo.
You want Chewie, right? Like the, you know, I don't know.
I'm taking
I understand why
Chewie
you
and I are going off on the Millennium Falcon, and it's going
to
be.
I'm taking C-3PO because I have always wanted a robot butler to make me tea. Again, I think I've been clear on this point.
Hot Earl Grey
robot butler, and he could translate from any language and the binary language of moisture evaporators,
and tell you
They're
the
very
odds.
Similar to binary.
They are.
In many respects.
They are. So if I need to load binary lifts, I can do that too.
In your alternate career path.
Lift binary loads. Jason, come on.
All right.
PC load letter.
Again, PC load letter. Exactly. Exactly. Also, by the way, something I noticed in this movie is that they're really mean in terms of, I mean, 3PO is basically a sentient being and they just shut him off when he talks too much.
Yeah.
It's like, shut up,
I
droid.
Love that scene.
Boop.
Yo, he's like the kid who's just getting like way too worked up,
right?
And it's
so they turn him off.
Yep.
They
never wanted
like
to turn your kids off when they get just a little bit too amped up.
You know, they have like
it'll be fine.
In Star Trek or Doctor Who or whatever, they always have these moral dilemmas of have these sentient creatures that we've created become like beings. Now
no.
We're morally obligated not to be nice to them. In Star Wars,
we don't serve their kind here.
No.
In Star Wars, they are machines, start, finish, yep. They are toasters, like in the Battlestar sense. But, like, really, the people are not losing any sleep of telling C-3PO shit. Now, they relate to him as a person the same way you would relate to a really smart toaster as a person. But, come on, it's not a person. They turn him off when
in
they
the way
to
you
see,
relate to him.
Up.
But
it's
they still... They
he got pissed off at that one character
they,
in the movie.
They have
and
affection
they
towards him. He's like, R2, you fell in the swamp. I'm concerned. The same way you'd be concerned if your favorite toaster fell in the swamp. Like, but they don't spend a lot of time mincing over, like, oh, is it a sentient being? And we have to... No,
so,
they're drawing.
So,
no, but they rescue C-3PO when, from some
like,
destruction. They rescue R2 from blaster bolts to the back. I mean, they care for these droids.
They have affection for them, but it never goes over the line where, like... And that's what makes the droids so interesting, because there's a line separating the world of humans in the world of droids, and the droid world C-3PO and R2 are like, it's you and me together because we're the droids and we relate to each other as equals, even though other people don't treat us always as equals.
I just always saw that scene as the equivalent of, like, you could probably see the same scene where, like, somebody's freaking out or whatever and someone just goes like, man, like, bops them over the head so they knock them out, because it's like, oh, they're just gonna be too much trouble to deal with right now. Because in that scene he's being like, we can totally surrender to the Empire, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's
fine.
Totally,
and they're like,
yeah,
all right,
yeah.
He's off his locker at that point.
And you can always turn, he's just in sleep mode. There's contents of RAM are preserved.
Right.
So you can turn right
hibernation.
Back.
Yeah, solid storage. Solid state storage.
Yeah, 3PO is really good for that.
I'm not going to fight for the rights of droids. I draw the line.
No, that's very Hermione kind of thing to do.
Well, exactly. We're not in the Harry Potter universe.
Fight for the rights.
The droids can fight for their
droids.
Own rights.
They can.
And continue
and
to save
party.
The universe.
Thank you.
Party? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I make little folders on my desktop when people say funny things that might be possible episode titles. And I just realized that since we've done two of these in a row, I only have two things on the desktop, and they're both John Siracusa lines.
Of course.
All I did was quote from the movie.
I have a good book exploded, which from yesterday. And you so crazy, laser brain.
No, please don't use that. That's horrible.
I thought there were a couple other good ones.
There are.
I'll
find them.
When you're editing it, maybe you'll hear
more. I'll find them when I edit them. I always do.
I don't think you're not constrained by the rules that I always apply to Hypercritical, where it has to be something said on the show. There are many concepts that were discussed that you can just, like, Grayskull Anonymous. Just take that concept.
Yeah, but Grayskull Anonymous was that.
I guess
it was said
as well. But
I try to have it be something that was said.
Well, it can be something that was discussed. Yes. Even if the exact wording wasn't said.
Darth Vader's office. It's so weird.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. Look, right there.
Darth Vader's office is so weird.
Yeah. It is weird. I mean, why would you? Well, okay. It's Darth Vader.
You
whatever.
Say, what always gets me about that, which I didn't mention during the thing. Well, that's what gets me. Like, John was making that comment about it being hermetically sealed, but yeah. It's freaking open when he sees his head.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, like, well, that's just the last. It's like you can, you know, it's like a fish coming out of the water. You can. Well, be
what's fascinating about that scene, though, is if you look at the scenario, he comes in, right? So, like, the guy walks in, he sees the head. He's like, oh,
he's
man,
like
head.
Yeah. Like, he sees it.
Right. And so they put the helmet on. He turns around. He's like, nah, this doesn't matter. I don't care. Whatever. And then he like turns around and closes the fucking office again.
Yeah.
And you're like,
well, it's not.
What the hell was the point of that? Why was it open in the first place? I don't know. Because
it's not an office. It's a portable
but
health
why
facility.
Why did he put his helmet back on to close the office again? It didn't make any sense.
He just needed time to think a little bit longer.
That's where he goes to. To think.
Boba Fett's helmet, look, I'm looking at a freeze frame because I'm queuing up the exact point where I want Jason to see when I look at Han. But Boba Fett's helmet is really messed up in this movie. Like, you don't realize, I've got all the toys and everything, but if you look at the actual Boba Fett helmet prop, it's beat to hell. Like, it's distressed in the modern, expensive, too expensive furniture sense of the word.
Well, I mean, he's a badass, right? Like, he's been around the block.
Yeah.
He's a badass.
I like that about him. He's really like, he looks beaten up.
So John,
but like that's the indication that like he's beaten up, but he's still alive.
I've got the I've got my handbrake ripped 720p files from
134/35.
Okay. It is nice to have the 720p ready to go. So what am I looking at?
134/35. You should see you 134/35 timestamp. You should see what do you call it, Vader and Boba Fett standing next to each other just at play.
The worst part of this is all the arguments that come up after you've seen the prequels. Well, do you think he recognized 3PO?
The what?
Oh, bleh.
No, there's so many of those droids that.
See, there's the argument that he prevents Boba Fett from shooting Chewbacca because he doesn't want him to shoot 3PO because he's still got a soft spot for him.
Wow.
Oh, trust me, there's a lot of. We spent up. After we saw Phantom Menace, we stayed up till like 5 a.m. discussing all the potential like link-ins and continuity things. And
then you made a suicide pact.
Man.
Well, we were still amped up at that point. We went back and saw it the next day. It wasn't until after that it started to sink in. I neglected to tell the joke on the podcast about how when we went to see the first showing, we were at the midnight showing of Phantom Menace, and when they let us in, I yelled, "The first transport is away."
Nerd.
Oh, damn.
So 134/35. Yeah. So she's looking at, I guess, at Darth Vader and Boba Fett, and Boba Fett kind of turns to look at Darth Vader, and then she goes over.
Darth Vader is not looking at Boba Fett. Like, so even before that, 134/34, yeah. Leia turns from Han and that commotion going on to look to stare at Vader with extremely wide eyes. So she's looked away from that big commotion that Chewie's causing. Now she's staring at Vader. Boba Fett is talking to Vader. Vader is distracted, not looking at Boba Fett because he's too busy locking eyes with Leia. And they continue to look at each other, and Leia starts to back away, and her mouth comes open a little bit, and she backs up. You're walking back there, away from him. You go through it. It's short. It's there. It's them. Those two are locked in and sharing a look. And
maybe,
you know, what other explanation is
there? But the argument against this, of course, the argument against this, though, is I don't know that Lucas had planned, granted from the bit that I was slipping through with Empire, it doesn't seem like he planned on her being his sister.
Well, they communicate through the Force in this movie. He doesn't communicate
this
with
is
what
is no, there is another mean man.
Oh, there is. There mentions in the making of thing that they're talking about Luke having a sister, but it does not necessarily mention that it's Leia.
Right,
but he does communicate with her.
And there's no way that's happening.
But it's the thing that makes that. I mean, that's the thing that it convinces me that it was done halfway through because of the kiss, right? It's just too.
I don't think. I mean, that weird. It fits because it's something that would happen if you didn't know your brother. It happens all the time in real life. People didn't know they were cousins.
Happens all the time.
There was a story.
What is going on with your?
I just
cousins get married. Didn't realize they were.
I just read a story about a brother and sister who were both put up for adoption and ended up engaged, and they were going to be married, and they did get married, and they did the genetic screening for diseases and found out that they were. Actually, brother and sister, and had to have their marriage annulled and all of these things. Yeah.
Yeah, the point is, if you don't know, you don't know. Yeah. Like, and they didn't know, so it's not like, oh, it's so creepy, they're kissing their brother. They don't know their brother and sister.
Yeah, and in fact,
it never bothered me that
kiss is not a sexy kiss. That is a.
It's to piss off Han Solo.
So.
Right. Yeah, but
without a doubt.
So I think that suggests that maybe that they did know.
It would be creepy if they had a romantic subplot with him, but again, it still would be realistic. That
which
if
they
you
did
know,
in the first movie.
It happened.
If you read the Splinter of the Mind's Eye.
Yeah.
A terrible book. Terrible book. And yet there is that whole thing like, oh, he started daydreaming about her. And it's like,
there's some Dagobah-like stuff in that book, too.
Yeah, that's a weird book. It doesn't make sense in continuity. Although it also gets mentioned in the making of.
No, it's a sequel to Star Wars as if there was no other movie.
Movie plan, yeah. Basically. Yeah. Yeah.
That is very strange.
Alan Dean Foster was a good writer.
So. Well, he also ghost wrote the Star Wars novelization.
Right. And I met the guy. Who wrote the Return of the Jedi novel that I mentioned? Remember the Wrath of James Caan, but it's a guy named Jim Caan, and he was at the Worldcon in Reno, and I just ran into him in the hall, and I said, "Hey," because he lived in my hometown.
Huh. Yeah, the Star Wars novelization has a great line about it. You'll take to it like a duck to water. What's a duck?
Huh.
I always got amused
by
that.
It's like a falcon, but
it's
not
like an aluminum falcon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I've altered the deal. Pray I don't alter it further. Wear this. Okay, I think I'm going to hang up now. Just out of guilt. Because it's 2 a.m. And then, that's okay, my penance will be that I have to edit this.
The good thing is,
I feel like I've got four podcasts in the bank now. So that's and another one coming on Sunday night.
This one's going to be long, even by two parts.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Sort of tune. It came in. It is longer than the movie,
especially if Jason.
It is in fact
splicing in these random bits from afterwards. If he puts them back into the parts of the
podcast, God.
That sounds pretty ambitious for Jason.
Yeah. Hey,
he can do it.
I do a lot of editing. I'll have you know. So.
To make
you sound good, Dan.
It takes a lot to make me sound good.
He doesn't sub-vocalize when he edits, so it goes much faster.
It does. It's true. I edit while it's playing. I just click around while it's playing, and magical things happen.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. 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 Doctor Who on Sunday night, right?
Oh, yeah. Another late.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yet another
Sorry.
One.
It's all right. I'm getting on a plane on Monday. Whatever.
Whatever. Something happening Tuesday?
No.
No.
Not really.
Nothing important.
No.
Nothing.
Definitely not. All right. Thank you. This was good. This was good.
Excellent.
And a nice small panel, which is also good.
Look forward to our inevitable chat.
And Ren, I'm glad your building didn't burn down. Because that was happening while this was going on, guys. The school across the street was on fire.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
About an hour and a half in, this all of a sudden I heard very loud fire alarms, and I had to step away from my computer, and the school was smoking. And then four fire trucks came and then everything was fine.
Kids.
Yeah.
Damn kids.
Apparently.
Yeah.
I am glad that the internet didn't shut up. And that we didn't burn down. Yeah. But, you know.
All right. Send me your files, and I'll have many podcasts to edit. So when, yes, I can go to Europe for like a year, and the podcast will continue.
Thank God for
that. Woo. All right. Thank you.
Stopping my recording now.
Okay.